Well, I appreciate the reverence with which we've begun our worship service. The good songs, the good prayers, the reading of Scripture. Randy, thank you for doing that and taking the time to do that. And for our Scripture reading this morning from Luke chapter 19, you've heard more Scripture in these few minutes than most people in our nation will have this whole year. We're not a nation of Bible readers, are we? Pretty obvious, isn't it? We're a nation of watchers and not doers. So we need to be God's children, as we talked about this morning, and working in the local church, doing our responsibilities. But here's a reason we've entitled our lesson, Christ the Friend of Sinners. Because He's your friend and He's my friend. When we read about Him and all of the gospel accounts and what the apostles had to say about Him and how the prophets prophesied about Him, 300 plus prophecies and every one of them fulfilled to the T. Indeed, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Paul in Romans chapter 1 says they are without excuse. On the day of judgment, they're going to know that. All those people who have denied God, unfaithful to Him, and His Word, never knew what a friend they had in Jesus. For He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's you and that's me. And aren't we blessed that someone someday took the time to teach us the truth? Maybe it was your mother or father. Maybe it was a friend. Maybe you came out of denominationalism. A congregation this size, I'd be pretty sure that that has occurred. And I can't know from experience, but I understand, I can empathize with you, the courage that it took to do what you did. To say, some of us remember the Happy Days show, Fonzarelli, what was the words he couldn't say? That he was wrong or sorry. And it's a sorry individual that can't do that. And so we need to step up to the lick log and admit when we've done wrong. And when my version perverts or contradicts the Lord's, I'm the one that needs to change. What I've always thought, what I've always been taught, what I've always believed is not going to cut it on the day of judgment unless what I've been taught and what I've believed is the truth. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, as He scolds the scribes and the Pharisees and the apostles that just told Him that you have offended these people, and He said, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Did He? Is that what He said? No, He said, let them alone. The blind lead the blind. They'll both fall into the ditch. If I'm blind and you're blind and I'm leading you and we're coming to this precipice here and I fall over, who am I going to take with me? You coming with me, aren't you? So we can't be led by false teachers. That's why you've got to know and I have to know that what I'm saying and what I'm being taught, what I'm believing is the truth. Isn't this what we want in the court? I want the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I want that from the pulpit, and I want from the pulpit what is said come from the Word of God, and not a perversion of it. Paul had gospel perverts back in his day. They were perverting. You can read in Galatians chapter 1, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Then he repeats it. If any man, verse 9, any man, that includes me and that includes David, and any of you preaching any other gospel, we're going to have the wrath of God upon us, and you don't want that. I remember fearing my mom and dad, then their wrath. And I never had to ask them, are you angry? Are you mad? You know, when you get God mad at you, you got the wrong one, don't you? Because God has already shown us His love for us. John 3 and verse 16. Sometimes we shy away from that verse because all the denominational people teach that and they pervert even that. For God so loved the world that He gave. Now it's my turn to show my love for Him. And so we need to know the friend of sinners, don't we? Because it's not somebody else, it is me. Remember the Pharisee and the publican? What did the publican say after the Pharisee finished his bragging speech? Of me, look at me, look what I did. The Pharisee, or the publican, who was looked down by the Pharisee, said, I am the sinner. Not one of all of these sinners, but I am the sinner. Literally translated, that's what he said. Have mercy on me. And that's how I need to feel every hour of every day. Jesus, the friend of sinners. I appreciate Robert singing, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Wonderful, wonderful words. Powerful song indeed. You know, as Jesus walked the earth, there were great crowds. You all have a fellow in this area by the name of LeBron. Have you heard that name? Okay, I figured you had. Anyway, is he pretty popular? Shake your head this way. Yes. If he goes downtown, is he going to be mobbed? Mm-hmm. Back in my day, Elvis Presley was the guy. He couldn't leave his house. He was a prisoner, his uncle told us, in his own house. He couldn't get out. A few times he tried, and then the radio would find out, and they'd announce Elvis is in Memphis, and he'd have to hurry home. Jesus was surrounded. Remember the woman with an issue of 12 years? She had a bleeding problem for 12 years, and she'd spent all she had on doctors and was no better because of it. And the crowd around Jesus, all she did was touch the hem of his garment. Wow. Didn't touch him, just the hem. And he said, Who touched me? And the apostle said, There's people all around you. And you say, Who touched me? And as soon as she did, what happened? That issue of blood dried up. Jesus, the friend of sinners. No, he knows your name. He knows mine. He knows what I did yesterday. He knows my birth date, my death day. There's nothing about me he doesn't know. Okay? Even the numbers of hair on my head. And I said, that's keep getting fewer and fewer. And some of us have that issue, don't we? And we can't help it, can we? No. But I need to know that Jesus is the friend of sinners. And he is my friend. And as we look in Luke chapter 19, and Jesus exposes himself to this fella, Zacchaeus. We sing that little song. Ever taught it in class to the little ones? Was Zacchaeus a big fella? No, a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. And he, well, he was a filthy rich man. And he was hated by the public. Okay? He was somebody said he was a publican and not a Republican. But he was hated. Everybody. Well, let's just look at it, this example. Remember the name Adolf Hitler? Some of you have studied him in history, and some of us lived during that time. But what if one of the members of the church here, if Adolf Hitler had conquered America, and one of the members here comes with a swastika on his arm, and he's taking taxes for Uncle Adolf? Going to be a friend? Because he's a hated Hitler. And here he comes in and he's taking money and more money than he needs from you. He has a certain amount that he has to take, but he's taking more. You going to like that fella? He's going to be a Benedict Arnold, isn't he? If you know your history. He's a traitor. And so here was this rich fella. Imagine the house that he lived in. And he's heard about this fella, Jesus. They even knew where he was from. Jesus of Nazareth. Wow. And so as we read here a few moments ago in Luke chapter 19, about this little fella, you can just see him like a movie, running around on these tiptoes. You ever been in a parade? Remember as a little kid? And when our kids were little, we'd put them on the shoulders so they could see, right? And then was he was trying to peer over. Too big of a crowd. Throngs. Well, just for example, Jesus fed the what? 5,000? 4,000? You imagine that many people thronging around you? No, I can't imagine. But I'll tell you, they tell us that it is very exhausting, very tiring. Everybody wanting your attention and everybody trying to hear what if he says anything or does anything. They went for days to follow him without food. And thus Jesus had compassion upon the people. And here this little fella, he goes running around. Can he see? He's a curious fella. He wants to know more about this fella he's heard so much about. And indeed, they didn't have computers and all the technology that we had, but they did have conversation, and the word spread like wildfire. You think it would today? A fellow named Ernest Angley down in Akron went up to see his cathedral. He healed 90 people that night we were there. And only one person, as I kind of chase a rabbit here, only one person out of those 90 people had a problem that we could see. The others had nicotine demons and alcohol demons, and they had cancer on the inside nobody could see. But a fellow went all the way from the back of that 1,500 seat or more auditorium, came from the back to the front on his crutches. He had polio. You know how he went back to his seat? With his crutches. Mr. Ainsley said, in 2 weeks you'll get your miracle. And I said, I didn't have enough sense to get his name and address and to follow up. Oh, anyway, we didn't. But Jesus didn't do that, did he? A lot of people disappointed in charlatans like Mr. Ainsley, but not in Jesus. With the woman with an issue, spent all she had. She was a dead woman walking and couldn't get help. Here in Luke chapter 19, we learn of a little man who was eager to meet the man. He was curious. He was curious. And to find out about this fellow Jesus, so he runs ahead. Figuring the plan or the road that Jesus would take, the major road. So he climbs up in a tree, and I would have too. But here's a rich man doing that, losing his pride. I can't be doing that. You know who I am. Well, he did. He was that curious of a fella. So he went there, and Jesus, to make a long or short story long, Jesus got to the tree and stopped and looked up. They'd never met before. What does Jesus do that is amazing? First word he says, Zacchaeus. What if you'd been Zacchaeus? And all this crowd and this, the man of the hour, comes to where you're looking down and looks up and calls your name. Well, you know, he knows me. Why did Jesus stop? Zacchaeus was a sinner, wasn't he? And the people, as we said, verse 7, and when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. They knew it. You know, he says something here in the next verse that seems to contradict this in verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. This, the language bears out that this is what I'm going to do from now on. Had he had the reputation of being a good tax collector, the people would have known it. But they hated this guy. He was the chief of them. He was one of them, all right. Died in the wool, all the way, and hated by the majority of the people. But he climbs this tree. It was a tree of life for him, wasn't it? So Jesus stops. Why? Because he's a friend of sinners. One individual. Jesus knew the value of a soul. What did Jesus say? What is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? You have that problem? Somebody said, I'd like to have $1 I didn't know what to do with. What's he saying? I want to be rich. Folks, that's what lotteries are all about, isn't it? Don't have to work. Find some scheme that I can get rich quick, and you'll get in trouble quick. You'll regret the day you ever won all that money. How many millionaires think they can buy happiness? And those of us who don't have it think, boy, I'd like to try it for a day. Watch out. It won't let you go. The money will own you. It will own you. Be happy with what you have. Be grateful. Because you know what? Even if you're as rich as Mr. Trump, it can be taken away, can't it? This little thing right here, it can stop. And you don't have say about that. The one who turned it on has the power to turn it off too, doesn't he? And that could be today. You and I don't know that. But we're all thinking it won't be me. You know the date of your birth, but you don't know the date of your death. What if you did? What if you did? But Jesus indeed was a friend of sinners. Well, he stops and sees this man, calls his name and says what? Come down. And he comes down in haste, and I would have too. Because the man that everybody wants to see is coming to my house. Now he's a big man. Look at me. He called me. But why did Jesus go? He said, today salvation has come to this house. In the very next verse, verse 9, I believe it is. He took the time. And that's what you and I need to do, is take the time to be holy in it. You and I need to be the friend of sinners, because we had one. We have one, don't we? Every single day of our lives. Remember that Jesus hung on that cross. Do not forget it, and do not just take it these few moments. And I pretty well guarantee you, if you can't control your mind and your thoughts for these few moments while we are partaking of the fruit, bread and the fruit of the vine, to remember His death, that you don't do it the rest of the week either. We sing a song that prepares our minds to partake of the Lord's Supper. Did it? Did the scripture reading help you? Should have. It choked you up. You know that movie, The Passion of the Christ? It's all I can do to watch that beating scene. That was a movie, but that really happened. And that's my friend that did that for me. Wow. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that powerful? Well, so much we could say about this fellow. Just back up. Randy read there in Luke chapter 18, where he told the apostles that I'm going to die. Son of Man's going to die. And what's going to happen to him? You're going to scourge him, verse 33. Put him to death and you'll rise on the third day. And they, what? That's not what they were expecting. But you know what? Later on, after he rose and went to heaven, then they remembered. Oh, he did say that. That's why the cowardly Peter could die for the cause. The one who was denying him three times in one night and said that he wouldn't, did. And who became the preacher? Bold proclamation. Isn't that powerful? And that's the way we ought to become. We have a friend like no other friend. Then verse 34 of Luke 18, or verse 35 rather. It came to pass that as he come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. Can you picture this? Sure you can. Sure you can. Just picture it in your mind as you read. That's part of what meditation is all about. Just stop when you're reading. Think, well, I won't get my reading done. Stop. Well, what did David say in Psalm 1, verse 1 and 2? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he what? Meditate. There you go. Day and night. His wheels are spinning up here. Wow. Yes. You know, if you walk and stand, you walk with a sinner, then you'll stop and talk with him. And then you'll sit down with him. And you'll be one of them. Blessed is the man. Happy is the man that doesn't walk or stand or sit with them. Because his delight is in the law of the Lord. And I'm going to be spending time with people who are going to bring you down. No, sir. You want to be a friend of the friend of sinners. And you do that by putting God's word in your heart. We're going to use this verse throughout the week. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I put in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Can you do that? Shake your head this way. Jesus is your friend. You do not want him to say to you on the day of judgment, depart from me, ye cursed. Do you? Anybody ever tell you when you're a child, go to your room. You know what I knew? My room was upstairs with my brother. My mom or my aunt or my dad, somebody would knock on the steps and say, you think you can come out and act like the rest of us? You know what I never said? No, I want to stay in my room. You know what was in my room? A closet and a bed and a table. Later on, we got a radio. We're moving up. No electronics. Kids get sent to their room where all their toys are now. They wanted to go there in the first place. So here's a blind man, back to our story, sitting by the side of the road, Luke 18, verse 35. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked, what's going on? What's all this noise and racket? Thousands. The Bible says multitude. Picture thousands. Remember the 4,000, 5,000 we talked about? Throng. Could you hear that from a distance? Yeah, what's going on? Why is he sitting there? Well, Mark tells us his name is Bartimaeus, and there's another fellow with him. But this is going to get your attention when a crowd like this comes by. It doesn't happen every day. No, sir. What is going on? 37, and they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Yes, he was a child of God like Zacchaeus was by flesh. You're not a child of God by flesh, are you? You're a child of God by faith. Because what you did, you obeyed the gospel by faith. Somebody said, why did Jesus tell us to be baptized? You know, I don't care. He told us. And that's what we're going to do, isn't it? One old preacher said, if the Lord asked me to walk through that wall, he said I'd start walking and expect him to make the hole. How about that? Whatever he said. One lady told my brother, said, I'm not going to get dunked and come out looking like a drowned rat. Man, Larry said, I felt like backing away from her. Who was she making fun of? Who was she mocking? God's word. She better have a change of heart. Mm-mm. Shame on her. But this man, interested like Zacchaeus was in the next chapter. Who is it? Jesus of Nazareth. Not just a lot of people named Jesus. But this one is the one, the man of Nazareth. He's coming by. And so he began to yell. Jesus, thou son of David. No, sir. If you were sitting there and you heard somebody coming by that could heal you, what in the world would you do? You'd make him known, wouldn't you? I'm here. Like Jesus at Lazarus' tomb, he cried with a loud voice. Like Stephen when he died. And Saul heard that too, didn't he? By the way, and he cried. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. Hey, Hold it down over here. Don't you know who's coming back? Come on. If you were he, what would you do? Oh, okay. Bye. Well, what did he do? But he cried so much the more, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." Look at this next verse. And Jesus stood. He heard him even amidst all the throng and commanded him to be brought unto them. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." You ever play blind man's bluff? Some of us may have eye problems. But I'm thankful to God that I can put these little things in my eyes and I can see to read, or wear my glasses and see to see and see to see. My brother and I played blind man's bluff, but I always kept an eye open because I didn't trust him. He going to lead me around? Yeah, I know where he's going to lead me. And I thought, what's it like to be blind? What's it like? You bet I'm going to open my eyes. Ronnie Millsap, he used to do that on his show. He just walked towards the stage and crowded. But he'd marked it off, he said. He knew where he was. Okay. Scared us to death. And as they say on TV, back to our story. Jesus stood, called for him, said, "What do you want?" "To receive my sight." And he said, "Receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee." Wow. Oh, see? And I shoot off another tangent here. Oh, look, see, saved by faith. Faith alone, that's all it is. No, he had to do something, didn't he? Jesus asked him to come. I said, "I'm not coming home with it. You come that far, you come to me." That boy got up, didn't he? And he went to where Jesus was. The crowd opened up. And he went to Jesus. And because he hollered, he knew who Jesus was. He knew what Jesus could do. And he asked him to do it. He didn't sit there and say, "Well, if he's so powerful, he'd know I'm blind and he can heal me." Uh-uh. He called for him. And you and I called on the name of the Lord, didn't we? When we obeyed the gospel. Remember what Ananias told Saul in Acts 22? "Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins," verse 16. Calling on the name of the Lord. Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven." Well, if that, you know, just call, "Lord, Lord, save me. Come into my heart." I've been in auditoriums like this, full of people who believe somebody who was telling them, "Just bow your head and close your eyes and say this little prayer, and you are saved." And as a matter of fact, you are so saved that there's nothing you can do to be lost. You want to pray that prayer? And depend on that for your salvation? Knowing what you know. You want to do that? You want to come down forward and I'll put my hand on your head? And we'll have a little prayer for you. "Lord, come into her heart. Come into his heart." Hallelujah. Heard it. Seen it. Been there. It's not something I read about. Saw it. And you know who they talked about? You. Campbellites. And they'll tell you in their little tracts, "We don't talk about you." Oh, yes, they do. Oh, yes, they do. They want you to think they don't, but they do. And they need to know who we are. Don't they? And we're coming. "Well, we don't try to steal sheep from you," one preacher told me, one pastor told me. He said, "Why don't you go out and try to save souls?" I said, "Sir, that's what I'm trying to do with you." Jesus was a friend of sinners. Again, I say, we need to be too. We need to be too. And this man did what was necessary. Verse 41 or 43, "And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. Wouldn't you have done the same thing? Peter and John healed the lame man in Acts chapter 3. What did he do? Glorify God, wouldn't you? Isn't this the lame man who's lying here? Lame from birth? Wow. Yeah. Folks, there are so many examples. So many examples. Luke chapter 7. Just turn back just for a second. We'll close our lesson. Verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Sat down to eat. And behold, verse 37, behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner. She was a notorious, well-known, immoral, ungodly woman, a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. She'd heard about him too. She'd heard about him too. His goodness, his kindness, his gentleness, his sweetness, his great power. And stood at his feet, verse 38, behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. You got that? Jesus, you know, in a few minutes, if he shuts up, we're going to get to go and eat and sit down. They didn't sit down. They lay down. Okay, they lay on their side, generally on their left hand, to eat with her right. And so as he stretched out, she was behind his feet as he was in that position, washing his feet with her tears. There's been times I've read a book and tears have come to my eyes. Then there's times when I've seen something, heard something, or something's happened when tears flow. And they just keep coming and coming. That's where she was. It's one of those sobbing, tear-flowing incidents. Washing his feet. Jesus, the friend of sinners, what does he do in this situation? I know what the people are going to say about him. I know what Simon says. Look at verse 39. Now, when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, saw this woman, crying, bawling her eyes out. When Simon saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. What did Jesus come to do? Seek and save her. And Simon is thinking in his head. Look what the next verse says. And Jesus answering said unto him. What is he answering? Simon's thoughts. Whoa. Jesus. Yeah. You must have read my mind, somebody said. Did you ever have somebody say that? Or do you ever tell somebody, you read my mind? Well, that's what Jesus did. He read every word that Simon said. If he knew who it was that was touching him, if he were a prophet, which he says he's not. Jesus answering and said, I've somewhat to say to you. Oh. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. He's this fellow lending money. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most? And Simon answered him and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Jesus to Simon, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you ever do that? Talking to somebody and looks up, look at somebody else. He turned to the woman. Okay, I'm lying on my side. I turn to the woman and say to Simon. What's he going to say? Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. And thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto you, Simon, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And that's you, Simon. You headstrong, arrogant, know-it-all, in essence. Did Simon need to hear that? Shake your head this way. Yes, he needed to hear that. The rich man in Luke or Matthew chapter 19, when he asked, "What lack I yet?" Did Jesus tell him? Well, let me see. Did he tell him? You ask Jesus what I need to do, you better sit down and get ready. Because he's not going to mince with words, is he? He's going to tell you. You think Simon got the point? And he said to her, "Thy sins are forgiven." And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, "Who is this that forgiveth sins also?" And he said to the woman, "Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." Can your faith save you today? If you're not a Christian, you believe this is the Word of God. You believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Do you? You know what that Word tells us? What that Son of God said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Many want it, "He that believeth is saved and then should be baptized." Is that what it says? "But he that believeth not shall be damned." And you better believe that last part of that verse. We're only here on this earth a brief period of time. Like Moses, chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And buddy, he could have, couldn't he? Which road are we choosing? The pleasures of sin of this life, that the devil has deceived us, blinded us to the truth, that is so simple that nobody can say, "I just couldn't get it." Oh, yes, you can. You just chose not to. Joshua said, Joshua 24, verse 15, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." You can serve the gods of the Amorites in the land whose you now dwell. "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." What will you do? Will you, like Saul, arise and be baptized? Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord, in answer and reply to the same command that Jesus gave in Mark 16 and verse 16. Won't you do it right now, while we stand, while we sing, Robert?